Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's wonderful to be with you on this Friday. We have a very, very sobering broadcast prepared for the next hour, and that does not mean that you have to become sour or I have to become sour or depressed. It just means that we are marching towards that moment wherein everything is going to change. And before I go any further, I'm going to read to you just a very short word that needs to be judged, deeply judged right now by the spiritual men and women of God that are out there that are tuning into this broadcast today. I'm going to read this a couple of times throughout the broadcast, but let me just share with you what I'm hearing in the spirit, in my spirit. You know, I thought this morning when I woke up, I was going to get a little song that says back in the saddle again, you know, and just have a fun Friday type of thing. And immediately things shifted as I opened up the word and began to pray about this morning's radio broadcast. And it's almost as though things that the Holy Spirit has been downloading in me during our time away that are almost imperceptible. You can't really, you know, get them consciously yet. There's just like a movement of God in your belly, so to speak. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about, but all of a sudden he gives clarity to what he's saying. And I believe what I'm about to share with you this morning is the clarity of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to remind our listeners, and I want to be very gracious in doing so, that I'm going to say something by the end of this broadcast that I believe by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, will be a witness and a confirmation to your heart and to your mind. We have been through enough discipline to understand you don't put your hand on the fire anymore. You know what I mean? You've been burned a few times, you just don't put your hand in the fire. You listen not to do that. And I believe we've learned that lesson. And yet we have a very real responsibility to share what we see spirit world. You know, it's very easy for somebody to get up and see physical things happening, but when we see things in the spiritual realm, and which is a true spiritual watchman in the days that we're living in, and we're not just speaking to the people by what we're seeing and hearing in the world alone, but when God originates a thought in your spirit, when God originates a thought in your heart, and then he confirms it and then reveals things, I think we need to pay attention to that, and that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. You're going to have to be the judge of what you're going to hear, and it's probably most likely going to be just a witness and a confirmation. But I really believe we need to take this serious, probably more so than ever, and get this word out to as many people as we can, because here it goes. Your season is about to change. And God said that he had revealed a mystery to you through his word. I have given opportunity to the nation to repent and have granted a reprieve. And I tell you now that the time of reprieve is drawing to a close. All my people out of the cities of America, I would sound the trumpet, the alarm of war, and destruction. Even as I led my people Israel out of the land of Egypt before its doom, so now I call my people to come out of the cities, for they shall most assuredly be destroyed. The season is shifting, and the time of reprieve comes to an end. Now, that is not a new message. That is a message that has been prophesied, preached, spoken forth, taught for thousands of years. Obviously, we're going to read something out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, that really is what is prompting this message today. Because again, for several weeks, quite frankly, not just while we were gone, stretching back maybe even a month and a half ago, I began to get a sense in my spirit, in my prophetic spirit, I began to get a sense of something going on this April about the Exodus, about Passover. And if you'll go back to, you know, a month and a half ago and go to our archives and listen to the messages, you're going to hear at different moments, you know, speaking into Passover season, you know, something shifting. God led his people out. There's something changing. Well, this is seemingly just bringing all things together about what I'm sensing prophetically for the month of April during the Passover season. And what I'm getting from God in my heart is warn the people now to get ready for their exodus out of the cities. And it's very explicit that it's the cities of America that have been targeted for destruction. And the cities of America are not out of the waters yet, the dangerous waters of nuclear detonations. In fact, all this time that has gone by probably gives more credence to the reality that the lion has come out of the thicket, so to speak. And we're going to read about that. And he has been observing the prey. We've been saying that for quite some time. And even in this moment of reprieve and the turmoil that continues to go on in the world today, we are coming to the end of that reprieve. And I don't know what that means. If, you know, there's going to be given a year until 2020. I don't know if it has to do with the elections. I don't know if it has to do with an assassination. I don't know what this end of the reprieve means, but I believe that God has spoken. And I'm going to show you an article that may just, you know, kind of prompt you to confirm, to, you know, to maybe go a little bit further along with me before I get into the word. Give you an example why God might be saying that. And so let's take a look at this latest coming out of CBN News. And that's the Christian Broadcasting Network with Pat Robertson. And they have a great news network there. And here's the top headline right now. Worse than New York. Radical abortion law will make Illinois the abortion capital of America. Now, notice the tone here. This is the obstinate rebellion in the hearts and minds of the legislators, the leaders of these places. And here's the article. Illinois is considering its most radical abortion bills yet. If passed, pro-life advocates say they could turn the state into the abortion haven of the Midwest. The Reproductive Health Act, which is HB 2495 and SB 1942, enshrines abortion as a fundamental right and provides that a fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus does not have independent rights under the law. Now think about that. So this act is enshrining the abortion as a fundamental right. And because a fertilized egg or an embryo or a fetus does not have independent rights under the law, well, obviously, this makes for the mass murder of more of these fetuses, embryos, fertilized eggs. So the bills would do the following. So here's what would happen if Illinois were to pass the bills. Number one, it would repeal a 1975 law that includes criminal penalties for doctors who perform abortions. Well, that wouldn't exist anymore. Number two, it will legalize abortions up until the moment of birth. Now we're going full-term abortion. Number three, it would eliminate all restrictions on where abortions are performed. You could have one in the backseat of your car if you need to. Number four, it would require all private health insurance policies to cover abortion. Even churches and other religious organizations would have to allow for such. Number five, eliminate any restrictions on where abortions can be performed. All right, so it kind of it's where they've repeated that twice. So the law also allows, listen to this, non-physicians to perform surgical and medical abortions. It repeals laws that allow husbands to block their wives from aborting their child, eliminates requirements to investigate fetal or maternal deaths resulting from abortion, and allows minors to receive abortions without ever having to notify their parents. Okay, so this is the real deal, folks. The real deal. Colleen Connell, executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, of Illinois, told Rewire News, the bills are a direct response to pro-life advocates. It's pushing back against a deliberate strategy of the anti-abortion movement, she said, of stigmatizing and siloing women's reproductive health care. And these bills are saying we need to treat reproductive health care like any other health care. That's what she said. So it's a literal war, a battle going on. Well, constitutional law expert Paul Benjamin Linton calls the bills the most radical piece of abortion legislation that has ever been introduced in Illinois and the most radical proposed in any state to date. Well, the Democratic supermajority's proposals now pending in the Illinois General Assembly are the most pro-abortion legislative measures of their type in the country, he said. This is Peter Breen, vice president and senior counsel for the Thomas More Society and former Illinois House Minority Floor Leader. He said, the barbaric procedures promoted by this legislation are nothing short of infanticide. So think about this. In Illinois, they are proposing to pass a law that you don't even have to be a doctor to perform an abortion anywhere. You could do it anywhere by anybody. Men can no longer stand in the gap and defend the innocence of their child, their seed in a woman's womb. So there's no protection from the father that would resist it anymore. And it also talks about eliminating requirements to investigate fetal or maternal deaths. So if somebody dies from having one of these abortions in the alleyway or in the penthouse suite or wherever, there's no mandate now to investigate the death. And it allows minors, here's the big part, you know, those 13-year-old little girls that are having, you know, intercourse at different places, they get pregnant. Well, this allows minors to receive abortions without ever having to notify their parents. Now, imagine, parent, you come home one day, your daughter just went to an abortion clinic. She just had an abortion, but she didn't have to tell you. And all of a sudden, she's going to start acting a little strange because psychologically, the impact of murdering the life of blood, because it is the shedding of blood, life is in the blood, not the breath. It's not in the heartbeat. Life is in the blood. Okay. So now you have children growing up in your home that have a deep secret. Number one, they're going to carry the secret around because they didn't want to tell mom and dad they got pregnant. And so now this is the state taking over, right? So this is very real. What I'm sharing with you right now, this is the very real deal. That we are living in a country that was given reprieve, called to repent. God's gracious, outstanding mercy after major wildfires, school shootings, church shootings, concert shootings. And I'm just reminding everybody so you don't forget and think everybody's been so calm. You know, everything's been good. So what's the problem? No, it hasn't been good. It hasn't been good since 9/11/2001, and we have more deaths just from the opioid crisis around our young people, and we have all kinds of crime and death and murder and corruption and defilement and depravity oozing out of every orifice of our society. Television continues to send forth the blasphemous messages of mockery and scoffing against the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, our nation is still a mess, and yet we were, through prayer, was like, God, give us one more chance. And this is kind of like the parable in the Gospels. Cut it down. Well, wait, the guy intercedes. Give it just one more year. Let me dung around it. Okay, I'm going to give you just a brief moment. If it bears, well, God's given us that brief moment, and he's dunged it, and he's done all these things. But the root seems to be rotten when you have states rising up to bring full-term abortion back into the issue. Now, someone may say, well, that's just their response to what they know is about to happen, that there's going to be a federal law against abortion. Roe versus Wade is going to be completely decimated, and it's going to be a federal law. Well, if it's not a federal law, these states are just opening their doors, New York and all the others, for people to come piling in to continue murdering babies in our country, which is not solving the problem. So the only way to solve the problem or repent, like we're going to read here in just a moment, is to stop it and go in another direction, which would be a federal law that makes it illegal, like it used to be in our country. That would be the federal reality. It is illegal in the United States under any circumstances, except for those provided by criminal law, like rape or something to that effect, or a life-threatening situation, which is a choice involved: should the mother live or should the baby live? Well, when it becomes illegal to have an abortion, well, now you're talking about repentance and fruit, okay, because you're redeveloping a culture of life. Same thing with homosexual marriages, lesbian marriages, transgenderism. Those things should be illegal in the United States of America. Laws should be promoted at a federal level to not allow that to enter into the society, because we know of the psychological impact that these things have upon the psychology of a nation. And that's why you're seeing the insanity all around you, okay? So if we want repentance, then let's really repent. But don't try to put a Band-Aid on it and just say, well, we're going to overturn Roe versus Wade, but we're going to give the states the power to do what they want to do. Don't give the states the power. You didn't give the states the power to see whether or not they wanted to marry homosexuals or not, right? I mean, that's a federal law. That's now Supreme Court. And so it has to be that way, which would probably bring about a revolution in the United States. But as many people say, so be it. Rather than fighting for a defeated thing, let's fight for what is standing up for righteousness. Man, righteousness wins a lot of times when you're really fighting the righteous cause here. And it is not a righteous cause for a woman to make a decision for a fully developed baby in her womb to murder it. I mean, what kind of insanity is that? Life is in the blood, even in the fetus. Once there's blood, fetus. Once there's blood, there's life, okay? Wherever there is blood, there is life. And I don't know why people don't want to get that. Scientifically, it's true. And so this is the issue. So let's get now to Jeremiah chapter 4. And if you happen to just be joining us right now, I'm going to share a sentiment. I believe it is a prophetic word from the heart of the Father. I shared it at the beginning of the broadcast. I'm going to share it again. And this is what I hear the Lord saying: you be the judge. Your season is about to change. And I have revealed a mystery to you through my word. I have given opportunity to the nation to repent and have granted a reprieve. And I tell you now that the time of reprieve is drawing to a close. I would call all my people out of the cities of America. I would sound the trumpet, the alarm of war and destruction. Even as I led my people Israel out of the land of Egypt before its doom, so now I call my people to come out of the cities, for they shall most assuredly be destroyed. The season is shifting, and the time of reprieve comes to an end. And this is all centering around the month of April. and I couldn't understand it. It's been swirling in my belly for about a month and a half, or maybe even a little bit more, about, you know, Passover 2019. What, there's something about this. And when you think about Passover, the mystery revealed in God's word is how he led his people out to preserve them from the destruction that was going to come upon the land. And I believe with bills like Illinois and New York and Iowa, I mean, you go on down the list, all these states that are rebelling against putting an end to this abortion issue and the other issues that are defiling our country is soundproof to what's happening. But here's the word. Let me just now bring the word of God to bear upon this conversation we're having here today. And I woke up to this morning, and I am not ashamed of it. I am not ashamed of the word of God. The entirety of the word of God is where my heart is. I heard the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians tell those people, do not neglect to learn from what was done in times past. Do not neglect the old covenant. Do not neglect the Torah. Do not neglect the Pentateuch. Do not neglect to hear the word of the prophets. Do not neglect. Why? Because therein is God's heart and mind revealed. God never changes. The covenants have changed. And anybody that wants to experience the love, mercy, tender kindness of the Lord can do so by God's act of mercy and grace through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the new covenant. I will forgive you. I'll be merciful to your unrighteousness. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. It doesn't get any better than that. But to remain in the sinful condition, whether you're a nation or an individual, God isn't changing his mind. God is not changing his mind. If you don't want fury and wrath and judgment on your life, turn to Jesus Christ, because therein your wrath, judgment, and punishment has been taken away, and mine. But if you reject the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you reject the good news of the gospel, you're still under the curse of condemnation, and you are under the weighty hand of God's fury and wrath. Now listen very, very carefully. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. God's heart is pleading, and this is the mystery. I need you to hear this, okay? This is the mystery of mysteries. Jeremiah prophesied for over 40 years through many different administrations, and do you know that he also prophesied during the times of Josiah? And Josiah is the reformer that brought the reprieve, because judgment was already on the nation, and it was about to come in the form of an attack, a military campaign to destroy it, but God delayed it because Josiah's heart was right. But immediately after Josiah's campaign to bring about a reformation was over and he died, the next king came to power and the prophecies stood. And that's what Huldah the prophetess had actually told the messengers of Josiah, because this man's heart is tender, that there will be a delay on the judgment. Nevertheless, in his lifetime, even though he won't see it, nevertheless, what has been spoken by the prophets shall come to pass. And then it did. It did happen. And Jeremiah actually was prophesying at the same time. Give you a hint of what we're talking about. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. If you will return. Now, obviously, this message is to Israel, Judah, okay? But you need to allow for some space to see if the shoe fits. Let's see if this message fits for America again. If you will return, O America, saith the Lord, return unto me. If you will return, that's repentance. If you will return unto me, and if you will put away your abominations out of my sight. Now, we know homosexuality is called an abomination. Abortion is an abomination. Okay? Blasphemy on television is an abomination. Pornography is an abomination. These things are saturating the society. They are abominations. And God says to the nation, if you'll return unto me, and you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then shall thou not remove. In other words, if you'll do what I'm calling you to do, you've already committed the crimes, you've already committed the sins, you've already promoted the abomination, but if you'll turn, then I'll have mercy on you. You will not remove. I'll keep you. That was the message. Verse 2. And you shall swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, the God of Israel. And in him, the God of Israel, shall they glory. In other words, if you, my people, will become my people, if you will be my righteous nation, I will make you a light to all the nations of the earth, and all the nations of the earth will worship me, Yahweh, because they will see my goodness among you. Okay? That's the deal. That's what God is stretching forth to the people. And what is he asking them to do? Put away your sin. Put away your abomination. Now, God could say this to an individual, and he could say it to a nation, a Judeo-Christian nation. Okay? Now, verse 3 goes on. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Illinois and New York and Washington, D.C., in Alaska and Iowa, California. You leaders, right? So the Lord says to the men, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, you people of America, you leaders in the cities. So God's telling them what to do. He's telling them to repent, break up the fallow ground, circumcise yourselves to the Lord, take away the foreskins of your heart, this hard rebellion, and things will go well. Lest. All right, so now God's telling them, if you don't, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Now, let me just read a little commentary in verses 3 and 4. Listen to the commentary. Jeremiah told the people to break up the hardness of their hearts. Plow breaks up unplowed ground. Good kings like Josiah had tried to turn the people back to God, but the people had continued to worship their idols in secret. Their hearts had become hardened to God's word. And Jeremiah said the people needed to remove the sin that hardened their hearts before the good seed of God's word could take root. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, Josiah tried. This president is trying. And yet you have the leaders of these states that are promoting these far radical, or seeking to promote them to continue down the road of destruction. And so God's saying your time of reprieve, which a lot of people believe in 2016 when President Trump was elected, this gave reprieve, opportunity to turn the nation around, to get things right. Something's wrong. It's not working. Something's terribly wrong. And maybe God's word will tell us what it is. Here we go. You ready? God says in verse 5, of Jeremiah chapter 4, declare ye in America, publish it in Washington, D.C., and the cities of America, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defensed cities, set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. What's he saying here? The lion, verse 7. The lion is come up from his thicket. Who was the lion in those days? Well, in those days, it was Nabopolassar and Nebuchadnezzar, Okay? These were the kings of Babylon. The lion has come up from his, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate. And your cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Ladies and gentlemen, the cities of America being laid waste without an inhabitant is talking about some pretty powerful weapons of mass destruction, wouldn't you say? For this, verse 8, gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. All right, what are we hearing in God's word? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Go back to the New Testament, Corinthians. He says to the people, learn from the past. Learn from how God dwelt with the Israelis. Learn how God dwelt with the Jews and dealt with them. Learn how he deals with nations. Learn. That's what Paul said. He didn't say ignore it because you're under a new covenant. He said, no, learn. And when God gives a reprieve to a nation like ours who boasts a biblical Christian foundation, a Judeo-Christian nation, three times in the Supreme Court of the United States told to be a Christian nation, we become more accountable. And what we have permitted in our land has been nothing short than an abomination to God, an offense to the Almighty. And now, even though that's become abundantly clear, the leaders of our nation in these capitals, in these states, in these cities are getting even more hardened against God and against his son, Jesus Christ, and his word. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, priests, shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. I wonder what prophets are going to wonder. I wonder what priests are going to be astonished. I wonder what princes and kings are going to have their hearts perish. Well, we're told in the next verse, verse 10. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Even though Josiah is doing his work to turn the nation back to God, to get things right, it was even said by the prophetess in Jerusalem, it won't last. Why? Because men's hearts don't change. You could bring all the power you can to change everything in law, but to change a person's heart and mind, there's no law on the earth can do that except for God's Holy Spirit. Only God's Holy Spirit. And when you harden your heart against God's Holy Spirit, you go into deeper darkness and deeper hardness, and you find yourself literally in Psalm chapter 2, the kings of the earth gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ and said, let us break his bands. Verse 10, Jeremiah cries out when he hears this message from the Lord, and he says, then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, America, Washington, D.C., saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches unto the soul. You know, that's very familiar scripture when you look at, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. There's your 9-11 again. And that 9 through 11 tells that God will send a strong delusion upon the people that they will believe a lie. It's one thing to be deceived by the devil, and it's another thing to be deceived by God. And the prophet Jeremiah here said, oh, Lord, you greatly deceived this people of Israel. You've greatly deceived these people of America. And why? Because they're saying, you shall have peace. Whereas the sword reaches unto the soul. You see, Jeremiah moved. This is commentary. Let me just share the commentary. Jeremiah, moved by God's words, expressed his deep sorrow to God. Jeremiah was intercessor for the people. They had false expectations because of the past promises of blessings. Their blindness to their own sin and the false prophets who kept telling them that all was well. The false prophets who were telling them all is well. See, God allows peace and safety prophets to preach as a judgment upon the people who refuse to repent from their sin. Yes, God will allow the false prophets to rise and say, peace, safety. And they'll do it with strength and some kind of anointing to make the people of the land settle into peace and safety, even though they do not repent for their sin. But the people who know their God will not listen to the false prophets who prophesy lies in the name of the Lord, seducing God's people by telling them peace and safety. It's all going to be all right, even though they continue the mass murder, the diabolical, depraved, perverse actions within their conduct. Ladies and gentlemen, God's word is true. God's word is true. God's word is true. You want peace? You want safety? Serve the Lord. Bow the knee. Honor the King. Take up your cross. Follow him. Repent of all your sin. Confess all your sin and find the genuine peace of nations. But do not say to a nation that curses God, peace and safety. Verse 11, at that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, or the people of America today in our capital city, Washington, D.C. It will be said to them, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan, not to cleanse, even a full wind from those places shall come unto me, now also will I give sentence against them. A full wind is speaking of the fury of God. Listen to verse 13. Behold, here it is. He shall come up as clouds. His chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Well, who is this? Well, in the days of old, the prophet Jeremiah was talking about the king of Babylon, that the mighty Babylon was going to bring destruction upon the people of Israel, Judah. Who is it today? Who is the lion that has come up out of the thicket? Who is the destroyer of the Gentiles that has come upon the land? Who is it that God is going to release into this nation? Cause every city in this nation to be without inhabitant. Is it Russia from the north? Is it the wild man, Ishmael? Is it the sleeper cells, the terror cells? Is it the secret North Koreans? Is it China? What weapon in our modern day could possibly cause an entire city to be uninhabitable? Well, an electromagnetic pulse after a period of time, after everybody in those cities gets stuck and they've eaten all the babies, like you do when these things happen, you find it in history again and again and again, whether it's 70 AD or going back in time, but even before that, or the Ukrainians in the 1900s, whenever people get stuck, they eat their babies. So when you're done eating all the babies and cannibalizing all the people in the city because there's an EMP and there's no food coming in or out, no water, nothing but violence and chaos, the reality of what goes on in our nation when terrible times like this come, it's seen over and over again. Go to Katrina. There's the picture. Multiply it by 1,000. You have a decent reality of what things will be like. But an EMP, that'll wipe out some folks. They'll be traveling around trying to find some stuff. They'll try to flee out of those cities. Well, how about a nuclear bomb going off in the major cities across America? What about several nuclear bombs being detonated in major cities across the United States with nuclear fallout, radiation? Oh, Jerusalem, verse 14. Oh, America. Oh, church in America. Wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your vain thoughts lodge within you? For a voice declares from Dan and publishes affliction from Mount Ephraim. Why Dan? Dan was on the farthest northern borders. They were the first ones to see the armies coming. Verse 16, make ye mention to the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem. The watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah, the cities of the nation. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she has been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, it does not get any more rebellious than shedding the innocent blood in the face of God at full term. And this is what they're promoting. The way, your way, and your doings, listen, America, your way and your doings have procured these things unto you. This is your wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches unto the heart. So, doom was announced first from Dan and then on the hills of Ephraim, because Dan was located at the northern border of Israel. Thus, the Danites would be the first to see the approaching armies as they invaded from the north. No one would be able to stop the armies because they came as punishment sin. You see, when God sends forth his judgment, you cannot fight it. I don't care how powerful you think you are. You cannot defend yourself against God. And America is playing a dangerous game with God right now. And yet God promises that he will take care of his own. The righteous, I'm going to share with you a vision here in just a moment from a friend that just recently had a vision of God sealing his people prior to the breakout of this destruction we're reading about today. Well, verse 19, Jeremiah, when he hears this, when he sees in the spirit what God is bringing, and he's telling the people, listen, if you go out there and you start going on a rage and you sin and blaspheme God and just get totally rebellious, you know what you're doing? You're just storing up wrath against yourself, and the day of accountability will come. And he's saying to the people of this land, you're just procuring these things unto yourself. This isn't my desire. This isn't God's heart. to punish you and to release fury and anger. Oh, no, my heart is for you to turn and repent. My desire is to have relationship with you and fellowship with you and to bring my glory into your nation. I desire my glory so that I could send it to the ends of the earth. But these two prominent nations, America and Israel, today are both promoting the evils of the ancient times as though God is a different God today. Blasphemous America, blasphemous Israel, promoting the things that God condemns. There's only one bastion of light left, and it's in Christ. It's making your way into the ark of Christ. Jeremiah cried out in verse 19, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Verse 22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. And here's where it gets really intense. You ready? This is what it will look like. Verse 23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. The heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. You know that description that I just read is in Revelation chapter 6 in the sixth seal, the only seal that's never been opened in 2,000 years, no historical data anywhere. It's at the door. Verse 27, for thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. Folks, when God says something, he's not like you and he's not like me going back. In the days of Josiah, he gave reprieve, but he still said, when it's over, what I said is going to happen. I'm not changing my mind on this. Without repentance, God does not change his mind. And the prophets of God have been warning this nation for 40 years, 50, how about 30, 25? And moments of reprieve have come and gone. And this is kind of like the last one before the full weight of God's word is released. Verse 29, the whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what will you do, America? Though you clothe yourself with crimson, though you deck thee with ornaments of gold, though you rent your face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise you. They will seek your life.
For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that brings forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreads her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. Murderers. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Watchman. That is the word of the Lord. You be the judge. You be the judge. The things that we are saying here today. I'd like to open the telephone lines right now. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Does this word bear witness with your heart? Or are you angry at me for sharing this word? Are you saying, oh, there he goes. Where is your heart right now with what you are hearing? How much time do we have left? How much time do we have left? And I want to read this one more time. This is the word of the Lord. You be the judge. Your season is about to change. And I have revealed a mystery to you through my word. I have given opportunity to the nation to repent and have granted a reprieve. And I tell you now that the time of reprieve is drawing to a close. I would call all my people out of the cities of America. I would sound the trumpet, the alarm of war and destruction, even as I led my people Israel out of the land of Egypt before its doom. So now I call my people to come out of the cities, for they shall most assuredly be destroyed. The season is shifting, and the time of reprieve comes to an end. All right, let's take our first call coming in this morning from area code 858-864. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, it's been quite a ministry today. My goodness, a warning is coming forth like I haven't heard in a long time. And what I considered that is being blown is the ram's horn, the trumpet in Zion, to declare a day of repentance. I believe God is calling us to repentance and to get together and meet with one another and to consecrate the congregation in understanding the truth of the times we're in, because it is so close. It is so at hand. And to make sure the elders come, and that everyone, men and women, no matter where they are, to get them together and just talk about what you're saying. I think it's imperative for prayer and understanding. I think that it's imperative for true repentance. And I just to cry out, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on your people. Don't abandon us. And he won't. I don't believe he will, but it is time that we understand that there is true pagantry in this world ready to take over, backed by the unholy, powerful spirit of Lucifer himself, and changing rules and times and changing laws. And so we're there, and we can't stay silent about it anymore. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sounded the alarm on my holy mountain. That's the cry of the Lord, because the Lord is coming, and he's very near. And it is a day of darkness and gloom. It is a day of clouds and thick darkness. I'm looking at it right now. Everywhere we traveled, except for a few places, was filled with gloom and doom and darkness. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. And so it's going and spreading itself over the mountains. And there is a great and mighty people. And I believe that great and mighty people is God's remnant people who will hear the trumpet call and rise up and become the mighty warriors and overcomers he called us to be, and mighty. And there will never be anything like it again. But there's also a mighty group that is rising up in deep darkness, And they will go arm in arm and shoulder to shoulder to take over and to destroy where they can. Behind them, they will leave fires and destruction. Before them is the Garden of Eden, and they will continue to march and come into the homes of people and take over mind and thought through sickness, disease, and destruction. It's here. And we have to blow the trumpet in Zion, and that is what you're doing.
Well, amen. Thank you for those words. Thank you for the confirmations. And yes, Patricia, you and I mean, normally you take a different tact, and I sense that agreement. And I want to share some dates in just a little bit that I think you need to really take heed to, everybody out there. But before I go any further, let's take our next call. Coming in from area code 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Boy, did you say a mouthful this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm glad somebody's out there broadcasting it like you are. Hey, you know, Pastor, what you're saying is I woke up with a dream this morning, and I was trying to figure it out. You answered it already, and I won't get into that right now. But you're saying the same thing as my dream was saying last night. But, I want to go back to Wednesday. The concept that you were bringing forward on here is that this nation was formed as a Christian nation. And as such, we need to begin to follow the biblical precepts that God has given us in his word and doing what he has said. We're not doing that. And that is the problem. And, I'm going to go ahead and read something very quickly on here. And
sure.
It's a common one that we all know and we heard before, but it's worthwhile reading again. And that's in Matthew 12, verse 25. And Jesus starts off by saying, and knowing their thoughts. Now, he was talking about the Pharisees, the things that they were saying and doing. And he says, he said to them, any kingdom that is divided against itself is being brought to desolation and laid waste. And that's exactly what is beginning to happen because we haven't followed these biblical precepts that you're talking about on here as well. And no city or house divided against itself will last or continue to stand. Now, you look at what they're doing in New York, what they've already passed, and Chicago is even worse what they're proposing on here. How long will God tolerate what is going on? I don't think we stand much of a chance at all, and I can see those cities literally being destroyed because they're going against the very things that Jesus talked about in Matthew. Your thoughts?
Well, I think they're incredible thoughts, and I absolutely agree that this is what God has been warning us. This is what God has been saying to us, and I think it's just we've come to this moment. And what's very interesting right now with what you're saying, a house divided, there is a Irvin Baxter with an end time ministry that has been sharing with people the reality that peace treaty that is being signed in April, that's a 175-page document, The Art of the Deal, from President Donald J. Trump. And what people are going to find out in April is if this is. Now, Irvin Baxter is saying this is the biblical peace treaty that is going to actually open the door to the beginning of the tribulation period. And I find that interesting, again, that peace treaty, which is for the dividing up of the land, of Israel, that is what Patricia was reading about, talking about, and Joel, Brother Mike, told me this morning about Joel, and Irving Baxter has brought up this 175-page treaty. It's all ready to go. It's the art of the deal. It's what President Trump said the biggest deal he's ever made was bringing peace to Israel. And if that peace is a concession of the land, that's a problem. As our Bible students know, that is a problem. So it's all happening in April. And I want you to get these dates right now, that the very first day of the very first month in God's calendar is going to be April 6th. On April 6th, when the sun sets, you're going to begin the first day of the new month, of the first month, the beginning of the brand new year, 2019, the real 5779, or if you take it down to The 200-year gap that we've talked about before, you're in 5999. Come on. The year 6000 in the Hebrew is a year away, but it begins on April 6th at the setting of the sun, all day on the 7th of April. And then the great feast of Passover will be on the 19th. On April 19th, when the sun sets, the feast of Passover, commemorating and remembering the day that the children of Israel went out of the land of Egypt in haste, and they left that nation, they left those cities, and they went out to be with God into the wilderness. And I believe that God is saying, I've revealed a mystery in my word, and people that live in the cities of America today need to pay very special attention and pray about what you heard today. Pray, because it's all in the timing. You know that one day God's going to call you out. And whether this is that trumpet calling out, I don't know. You be the judge. You pray. But remember those dates. April 6th is the first day of the brand new year, 5779, which is 5999, which is amazing in the Hebrew calendar. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got a moment because we believe the Great Tribulation is at the door now. We believe judgment upon this nation is at the door now. We believe the season is shifting at this door now. And our job is to blow the trumpet. You do with it what you believe is right to do with it. And we're going to have to leave it there for now. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's Friday. It is the 22nd day of February 2019 in the Gregorian calendar. We'll see y'all on Monday, Lord willing. Have a great weekend. Until we meet again, God bless you and shalom. You go. Oh, before I go, hey, make sure to get over to omegaradio.org. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Tell your friends, family, get the word out. Omega Radio. Pastor David Wilkerson has a message for America. He gave it back in 1973. I wonder if it has any significance for today. We're going to play it one more time. Pastor David Wilkerson on Omega Radio Network coming up right now. God bless everybody and shalom.